BrighteyOn.tv fans, I'm Dr. Artist. This is the Dr. Artist Show. We're so excited for this interview today. You should see on the screen Dr. Greenblatt. This is going to be exciting. He's a psychiatrist. He's going to help educate us and bring us up to speed on, you know, the whole state of the world for the last several years. We want to make sure everybody's abreast on what you need to know, what you need to understand, and really what you're up against in the world of mental illness. We know a lot about that. We educate you on that, particularly not just on the physical aspects of life and health, but also the emotional side and mental side. So we're excited to have him here. All right. So this show today, just to make everybody aware where I will be, and I want to make sure everybody's paying attention. BrighteyOn.tv will be streaming it. Thrive Time Show will be streaming it also this coming Friday and Saturday. I will be attending the Reawaken Tour in Miami at Trump Doral, where Trump's kids will be there. Laura Trump will be there. Eric Trump will be there. Donald Trump Jr. will be there. General Mike Flynn, Mike Lindell, all of them will be there. I will be speaking at 1:15 on Saturday. Supposedly, Kash Patel told Clay Clark last week that not only will those members of the family be there, but Donald Trump might be making an appearance there also. So if that happens, that'll screw up the whole agenda for the speakers. But just know, there are platforms out there, even Ann Vandersteel's group. Everybody's going to be streaming this thing live, so you can find it there. I will be there doing interviews. It'll be very exciting. And we're also going to be launching our new Artist Club Experience, which will be an interactive membership-only group to interact with me on a weekly basis, bi-weekly basis, with a lot of incentives. It's going to be a lot of fun. So we're excited about launching that. And for those of you at home who are watching, this is a brand new logo. We actually created this last week. You probably remember the old green logo, but anyway, it's brand new. All right, we're going to be right back with Dr. Greenblatt, and we're going to be discussing psychiatry, mental health, and what you need to know to keep you and your loved ones healthy moving forward.
Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
Hey, I'm Clay Clark. We're live here at the Reawaken America Tour. We're getting set up. We're getting ready to accommodate thousands and thousands of people. We're turning every square inch of this facility into seating capacity. It's going to be 100% sold out, and you can watch live on Brighteon TV. That's Brighteon TV. Thank you, Mike Adams.
If you want to find out what's really going on, watch Brighteon TV.
Hi, this is Lee Allen Baker, and I love Brighteon TV.
The world we once knew is collapsing. We're being warned to expect rolling blackouts, and our political leaders are deliberately shutting down pipelines, fuel refineries, nuclear power plants, and energy exploration. The currency is collapsing, while financial assets are plummeting in value, and the global food supply is being deliberately decimated. To survive this war being waged on humanity, you need more than just regular prepping. You need resilient prepping. And that's the title of my new free audiobook, Resilient Prepping. You can download the entire audiobook and a printable PDF transcript for free right now at resilientprepping.com. Resilient Prepping teaches practical strategies for prepping in three layers: high-tech, low-tech, and no-tech. Resilient Prepping is your ultimate guide to surviving the total collapse of the world as we know it, because that's exactly what globalists are trying to achieve. Download this entire audiobook for free right now at resilientprepping.com.
Welcome back to the Dr. Artist Show. I'm your host, Dr. Brian Artist. Let's get our sponsors out of the way here. Number one, we've got the NorthTexasHealingCenter.com. Call them at 214-705-9369. Dr. T and the group of doctors there are ready to help you find a pathway to healing, and contact them today at NorthTexasHealingCenter.com. We're glad that they're a title sponsor of our show. Second sponsor is Mike Lindell's own, MyPillow.com. Use the promo code DOCTOR at checkout. D-O-C-T-O-R. Or if you can't type out the word doctor, you can just put in the abbreviation DR, and it still gives you and populates new discounts for you, additional discounts for the products you already picked. And then also they do rev share with the Dr. Artist Show, which is great. So we can keep bringing you relevant information to keep you and your loved ones safe and healthy at home. And then Mike Adams' own BrideonStore.com. Go to BrideonStore.com for all the stuff you need to be prepared for whatever's coming into the future. Use the same promo code DOCTOR, save 5% off of anything you're choosing there. And then GraithCare.com has been a great advocacy team. They are now international since we've launched and helped them build that platform. Priscilla Romans has done a great job. If you have a loved one in a hospital anywhere in any 50 states in Canada, Australia, or others, other countries even, contact GraithCare.com today. Use the promo code ARDIS, which is my last name. You'll save 10% off of anything you sign up there for advocacy for your health, your loved one's health. They're there for you. They have a great team, and we're very proud of them. All right. This is Dr. Greenblatt. He's on the screen. He's ready to actually educate the audiences. We're super excited about this. Dr. Greenblatt, I'd like you to educate the audiences of where you are, who you are, what made you decide to become a psychiatrist or get into mental health anyway, and then bring them up to speed of who you are, somewhat of a bio, so that they get to know who you are and gravitate trust in you. All right, take it away, Dr. Greenblatt.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm a board-certified child and adult psychiatrist practicing 30 years. I've had one foot in traditional psychiatry, which is hospitals, treating those that are most severely mentally ill and life-threatening and psychotic and suicidal. But for 30 years, I've been involved in the field of integrative medicine, looking at lifestyle, looking at nutrition, looking at the gut before it was okay to talk about it. And it's kind of that kind of educational clinical platform that now I've kind of devoted my career to training doctors on a different approach to mental illness beyond medications.
I love that. All right. So where do you practice and what made you get into the childhood side of psychiatry?
I'm in the Boston area, but our educational platform is international. We have online training and supervision for doctors, and we're setting up programs for patients. And, you know, I started off in pediatrics, year one pediatrics. And at that time, everybody, you know, got antibiotics. So it was pretty boring. And I was more interested in the kids who had stomach aches, couldn't get to school, couldn't function, and just shifted towards child psychiatry early on.
Very good. All right. So tell us a little bit about your website. I'm going to show it here. Psychiatry Redefined, I believe.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty clear that, you know, our understanding of mental health and mental illness is hopefully changing, because our traditional model, which is just symptomatic-based polypharmacy, you're sad, you get an antidepressant. Nobody's looking at what might be contributing to the depression. So sure. Our platform is training doctors and clinicians to kind of go beyond that medication, you know, reflex. It doesn't mean medication might not be helpful, but we're looking at nutritional deficiencies. We're looking at hormones. We're looking at the gut microbiome. We're looking at every possible contributing factor to help individuals struggling with mental illness, from psychosis to ADHD.
I love that. Now, I want to show on your website here, psychiatryredefined.org. I want to show this article here, and we can talk about this, but if you go underneath his articles tab, there's actually a article on suicide rates right now. As long as this thing pulls up here for me, just wanted to be a little slow. But the reason why I wanted to bring that up is because it's very relevant right now to what they're actually talking about in the media. I mean, this is just last month, April, 2023, ABC News. It's all over the news, by the way, US News and everywhere else. Suicides increased in 2021, reaching the highest level since 2018. And on your website, you have an article titled "Awareness Isn't Enough: Suicide Rates and the Failure of Mainstream Mental Health Care." So if you go into resources, click your articles page, and you can go here and read more. Now on here, there's a few statistics I would like to show the audiences, as long as it's open to you. Underneath here, these are things I'm actually aware of. So I'm just going to highlight these statements here and read them to you, to the audience. Between 2000 and 2021, the rate of suicide in the U.S. increased by 36%. Suicide is the ninth leading cause of death among 10 to 64-year-olds, 10-year-olds. to 64-year-olds, and the second leading cause of death in those aged 10 to 14 and 20 to 34. One person dies every 11 minutes from suicide. A recent study found that the emergency room visits for suicide among pediatric patients and young adults increased by a staggering 5 times from 2011 to 2020. Numerous organizations have sounded the alarm over mental health and suicide concerns, especially in our youth, describing the current situation as a crisis. Now, I'm going to stop sharing here so we can get back to just us on the screen. Gallery, good. And I want you to discuss, and I'll just remind the audiences here, about 2 years ago, an attorney out of Ohio named Thomas Renz actually testified before the state Senate on the suicide rates in the 10 to 14-year-olds just in his town that had been at rates they had never seen before the pandemic. And he was actually testifying to that, his concerns about the lockdowns and the mandates and what impact that was going to have on the psyche of his own children who were in public school, in elementary school and middle school at the time. So what are your thoughts? This is an article on your site. What are some of your thoughts of what do you think is increasing this massive concern being shown throughout the world in mainstream media about the concerns of suicide rates in children and adults right now, including this 10 to 64 year range? And how is that different than what were the preceding years look like?
Yeah, no, I'm impressed that you found that. I think we put it up this morning. Because I remember sitting over my coffee and I got another email about mental health awareness. And I'm so tired of everyone saying, you know, let's be aware, because that's not solving this problem. And so awareness is not enough. You know, any intervention that our medical community or mental health community has tried, more medications, more awareness, more screening tools, more visits, more telehealth, nothing has made a dent in this rising suicide rates. And our approach is really looking at it in a kind of holistic, integrated fashion. And my work is around clear biomarkers that we know are associated with suicide risk that are completely ignored. And you know, COVID put into light one of these biomarkers that we can all use the word now, inflammation. So any path to inflammation, whether it's Lyme disease, COVID, sleep deprivation, and we can go on and on, increases, or head trauma, concussions, increases risk of suicide, sometimes dramatically. Even sleep deprivation, a simple concept. And we have research, but nobody in the ER, when these kids are coming in after a suicide attempt, are looking at sleep, are monitoring, are looking at inflammatory markers. So our approach is evidence-based, but looking at biomarkers and trying to help understand who is higher risk, because our current model does not screen risk.
So if a mom or dad at home has a 10 to 18-year-old teenage kid or adolescent who is struggling with suicidal thoughts, which they call, or suicidal ideations, which are ways in which you want to take yourself out and you're just thinking about it's not worth living, but then going forward with that with suicidal thoughts, what would you take as an approach if a parent reached out to you or came to your clinics or clinics? What would be your approach that would be different than what you would find in most psychiatry or emergency room settings?
Well, step one would probably be the same everywhere, is safety, doing our best to assess risk. If we can't assess risk, then, you know, 24-hour hospitalization at least is safe. But the second step is where I differ, because my colleagues might just give a medication. And the sad reality that's not talked about enough is many of the antidepressants have a black box warning for increased suicidal risk. So we have a suicidal adolescent who's not responding to a medication. We add a second medication, and I can share with you from experience that these medications can increase risk in some individuals dramatically. Intense suicidal ideation after taking some of these medicines. Not for everyone, but for some. So my model is just looking at a series of blood tests, looking at simple labs, and I think we're pretty good at predicting those that might be at much higher risk. So vitamin D deficiency, common risk factor, B12, folate. There's a subset of patients, fascinating, that have this very low cholesterol, total cholesterol is under 120, high risk for suicide. So it's kind of predicting these high risk kids and treating these underlying biomarkers.
Well, that is a very different approach than most psychiatrists would take, I think, on step two. And I love that you take that approach. So just to speak a little bit and actually add to what you already provided, about 6 months ago, I did an entire, like almost 1.5 hour show, maybe 2 hour shows of my own recording that I send out to all my audiences, because the American Medical Association has been pushing emails and narratives and directives to medical professionals this entire last year. I've been watching it on telling the medical doctors that it's their job to articulate to their patients gun control narratives and that the school shootings in America, it's your job, medical doctors, to talk to your patients about gun safety, to help with the gun control, to help reduce the risks of school shootings. And that it's their job to talk about gun rights. That's their job. Now, my problem with that is, and the American Medical Association has not shied away from making sure this is public knowledge of them, they keep publishing this and pumping this out. They just called gun violence a new viral plague. That's what they just called last week in a MedPage article. Okay, so this is what the AMA is pushing, that gun violence is a massive problem, a viral problem, that their job is their responsibility, medical doctors, to talk to their patients about gun control. Well, the reason why I bring this up is because as a result of all their publications directing medical doctors to have this one viewpoint, that it's their job to handle gun control as being the cause for all school shootings, I did an entire 2 hour show to actually go through all 52 years of recorded school shootings in America. And they all have one thing in common. They all have a prescription for some antidepressant or antipsychotic drug that they are on. Every single one of the shooters all have that in common. So instead of putting blame on the guns, I actually put the blame on the prescription drugs and then showed every single antidepressant and antipsychotic drug and their published side effects of worsening suicidal ideation, suicidal behavior and actions, and homicidal published side effects. Homicidal actions are actually a published side effect of a lot of these antidepressants. And a lot of these people are on it. Every single one of them have one of these in common. So I have brought my audiences up to speed on the correlation between suicides, homicidal actions, or violent actions as published side effects of a lot of these psychiatric drugs, which fits right in line with what you're talking about. So I do appreciate very much your viewpoint at looking at the blood for nutrient levels. Vitamin B9, vitamin B12, vitamin D levels. That's what you're looking for in the blood, which all do correlate to our mental outlook and our experience mentally. You actually see that clinically, which is phenomenal. And then this correlation between cholesterol levels and low levels of cholesterol and suicidal ideations or behavior, I can totally see how that would be. I have done many, many shows and presentations discussing the purpose of why the liver creates cholesterol and how the body uses cholesterol as a backbone to create hormones for us. So for example, if you don't have enough cholesterol to make serotonin hormone, that's your feel good, happy hormone. Well, what's going to happen if you have depleted levels of cholesterol to not be able to create testosterone, for example, which is your self-motivating hormone, goal-setting hormone. When you lose that ambition and drive because you have low levels of cholesterol, of course you're going to have lower levels of these hormones that actually have a direct impact on how we experience our own mental experience and emotional experience. So that fits in totally in line with everything we've been discussing here. I love that you've educated that. So teach us a little bit about vitamin D and its impact. Now, vitamin D is known as a hormone, right? So what's the impact of that hormone on mental health?
Well, let's start with cholesterol. Vitamin D is made from cholesterol.
Very good.
And so cholesterol is a critically important nutrient. And as much as we have researched going back 30 years on this very low cholesterol and suicide and depression risk, we have the same research on vitamin D levels and dementia, vitamin D levels and depression, and vitamin D levels and suicide risk. So it's there, it's just been ignored. Vitamin D, you mentioned serotonin, it happens to be the cofactor in the rate limiting step of how our body makes serotonin. And again, we think about vitamin D maybe for bones, maybe now for immune function, but nobody is thinking about vitamin D and serotonin and mood. It's critically important and simple, but again, missed by our traditional psychiatric community.
That's really phenomenal. Can you speak to, well, let's just continue here. How about folate and vitamin B12? How do the B vitamins fit into our mental health?
Well, I mean, better brain. And I think B12 in particular is probably the single, you might find other ones, but my single greatest tragedy in modern medicine that people don't understand how to assess and look at vitamin D levels, because we have this blood slip and it says you're normal if you have a B12 of 220. And I can share with you from 30 years of clinical experience, you cannot feel well and your body does not function with a B12 of 220, but the lab slip says normal, so nobody's treating it. And by simple interventions, we can change mood, change behavior dramatically. So B12 has to be obtained from our diet. It's mostly available in animal products, so I do worry about our vegan adolescents. And we have different abilities to absorb B12. So not getting adequate B12 is one of the single greatest risk factors for poor mental health.
That's really phenomenal information and fits right in line with everything I try to educate people on, is the root cause for most any diseases, period. Disease states are mineral and vitamin deficiencies. This fits right in line with that. I would like to ask you a question. So in your practice for 30 something years, have you ever spent time researched or applied inositol, I-N-O-S-I-T-O-L, which is what they call vitamin B8. Have you actually seen any benefit from that with the mental outlook of patients?
Absolutely. I've been lecturing on that to physicians for 20 plus years, and we use it all the time. It is, as you said, a B vitamin, but at high doses, it's a powder, and it looks like glucose, so it's a sweet tasting powder. And the most benefit I have seen is anxiety, which for today's youth is critical important. And a particular kind of anxiety, it's actually the obsessive worrying that has been most helpful. So we use powdered inositol for anxiety in kids with no medication, and have seen pretty dramatic results with no side effects.
That is really incredible. I remember being at events and conferences, learning about anxiety, ADHD, learning about depression, OCD-like tendencies, right? The obsessive compulsive worrying. And they actually were comparing in these published, peer-reviewed, approved, published papers, they were comparing inositol outcomes to prescription drugs like Adderall and other things. And inositol actually every time outperformed without side effects the benefits of the drugs. So inositol, my audiences don't know this, but I created a multivitamin for children. I just released it last December. It's all natural and it includes inositol, and it had to be one of the B vitamins I wanted in it, because the Flintstone vitamins, which worldwide are still the number one selling multivitamin in the world for kids, owned by Bayer, by the way, Flintstones doesn't even have inositol in it. So I wanted to make sure this is something that was unique, and one of the reasons why I put it in my all natural chewable multivitamin for kids now. It's called Doc's Healthy Kids, but that's one of the reasons I put it in there. And also, I don't know if you're aware of this, but I'm sure you are, because I love that you know this stuff. Inositol is what I used in children and adults who had concussion injuries, who were addicted to sugar after the injury and also became obsessive and had anxiety and worry and panics. So I would use inositol to help break those cycles of what looked like a sugar addiction, when in fact their body was probably craving this glucose-like derivative that tastes like sugar. Inositol. It's a very sweet tasting thing. It was very easy to get parents to be compliant. Not a joke. I had a niece that was born about 8 years ago, and she wouldn't suckle a nipple or a bottle. And she had to, the threat was they had to do a G-tube for this baby. This is not a joke. I actually just told my sister to crush up inositol tablets into a powder and put her finger in it and then stick it in her baby's mouth and let her suck on it. Like just lick it and suck on it. And within about 5 days, she started feeding for the first time, like suckling totally. And inositol just has this incredible neurological benefit. And I've really, really loved inositol, plus the simplicity of having something that tastes sweet and giving it to children. It's like a sugar pill. It's been phenomenal to use for them. That's wonderful. Great. Any other basic vitamins or minerals we can mention? We've got about a minute before our break ends here, before the next 22-minute segment. But any other vitamins?
Well, probably the most common nutritional deficiency that we see with kids is magnesium deficiency. So it's a simple supplement. It's not as plentiful as we would like in our kids' diets. And it's hard to get in a multivitamin to get enough, but that's probably the most common deficiency we see in a mental health practice.
Oh my goodness. Magnesium is my favorite mineral on the planet. So, and I talk about it nonstop. It's the one thing I'm convinced the human beings around the world are the most deficient in when it comes to a mineral. And I have educated at length my audiences on magnesium. But let's ask this. We're talking about kids. I mean, young kids struggling with suicides at levels we've never seen before. And I would like to know, do you have a general recommendation type or form of magnesium? Because my audiences will ask that you recommend for children. And I did put magnesium inside of my Doc's Healthy Kids vitamin because it's so important. Okay, go ahead.
I think that all forms are probably helpful. The one form I try to avoid is the magnesium oxide. So that's the most plentiful. It costs pennies. So we're sort of drawn to it for $2, but it's probably the least absorbed. So I think any of the other forms, glycinate and citrate, are probably will be appropriate, but oxide is probably the least beneficial.
I love it. I actually use magnesium citrate every day. My wife does the best with magnesium orotate. It gets rid of all of her leg cramps that she dealt with for decades once we switched to that form, and everybody's different. But magnesium, by far, I believe everybody should have that as a part of their supplement daily regimen, period. It's just not enough in our diet. All right, so we're going to come back here with Dr. Greenblatt on the other side of these commercial break. We'll be right back.
Hey everybody, this is Dr. Jane Ruby here at the Reawaken Tour. I hope you're all here. Come out and see me. Love being here. Special shout out to my buddy, Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon TV, who I adore and respect. Miss you, Mike. And Brighteon TV, no censorship.
Hello, I'm Dr. Hochsi. Men, when things hit the fan, don't be crying in the closet with your wife and daughters. They're counting on you to lead them and to be a man who's physically fit, mentally sharp, and spiritually strong. At the Hochsi Health and Wellness Center, this is what we help you become. God has given your body amazing restorative powers to heal itself. We're in the business of transforming lives naturally. We've developed an 8-point treatment regimen, which includes healthy eating, vitamins and minerals, and hormone replacement, including testosterone. Become the man God wants you to be. Our program for men will help you put a tiger back in your tank so you can protect your family during these trying times. Contact us at the Hochsi Health and Wellness Center for a complimentary wellness consultation. Get your energy back so we can take our country back.
The global currency collapse will wipe out the dollar and many other assets, and the only things that will maintain value during the global debt reset are those with intrinsic value that do not require governments, corporations, or markets to make good on their obligations. At the top of this list of intrinsic assets is physical gold and silver. These precious metals have outlasted every failed civilization and government in human history. And they are non-digital, which means they still hold value even if the power grid fails. The Treasure Island Coins and Precious Metals Company is my go-to source for physical precious metals that are delivered securely and discreetly into your hands. Visit BrighteonMetals.com to check their live pricing and in-stock coins and bars. Find out why they are my trusted source for physical metals and why they're the official sponsor of Brighteon.tv. BrighteonMetals.com.
It with Dr. Greenblatt, psychiatrist here with his psychiatryredefined.org platform. Please go there and visit that website, which will be phenomenal. He also has a book we'll talk about here in this 22-minute segment. But let's first get through our sponsors here. For those of you who are not aware, I've even had personal people in my own family who were financially crushed by banks closing in California, like the Silicon Valley Bank. Go to Kirk Elliott PhD. There are many, many financial institutions that are being threatened with bankruptcy right now or closures. You want to make sure your finances are safe. Those things you've been working for your whole life to maintain, to work towards retirement or savings in general, to pass down to others. You need to go to KirkElliottPhD.com and tell them Dr. Artis sent you, or do KirkElliottPhD.com/Dr. Artis, and it'll take you there. You do free consults, the lecture, review your finances, and help paint a picture for you that will help remove anxiety, panic, and fear, which is what we're talking about in this entire episode. And then H2Bev.com, H2BEV.com. HydroShot is a nitric oxide infused drink with hydrogen that I use and start out every day, period, with this drink to actually provide nitric oxide, which provides more oxygenation to my tissues and energy that it carries me for 6 to 8 hours a day. Proven scientifically. Go there and learn more at H2Bev.com, and you can use the promo code DOCTOR. It'll save 10% off of any subscriptions there, but I use it every day. And then GrowMaxWaterHydro.com. All of you know you need to be growing your own food, or at least working towards learning how to grow your own food, as our supply chains of food around the world are now being injected with mRNA technology all over the place. I'm not sure you want that. So if you want organic foods, you need organic water, at least water clear of fluoride, chlorine, glyphosate, poisoning, you name it. So go to growmaxwater.com. Filters you just put on the end of your hose so you get clean water to your plants you're already trying to grow that are more healthy than the things you'll find commercially. So that's what I would do there. And then drstellamd.com, just because she's a buddy of mine. You can go to her website, you can buy shirts, books. You can even get prescriptions from her if you need them. If your loved ones are dealing with COVID and feeling scared, you can go there. And drstellamd.com, they'll help you there too. And the promo code there, discount code, is ARTIST. You can use that there. All right. Those are our sponsors. We got this out of the way now. I'm very excited to continue this conversation. Dr. Greenblatt, welcome back. All right, let's actually show the audiences your book first, and then we'll get into what I'd like to discuss is, what are some of the things you've seen? And you can put some thoughts into this while I show the book. But what are some of your thoughts and concerns that you've had that have been alarming to you besides just data? What is it that's been marketed, pushed into the frontal cortexes of the minds and eyes and ears of everybody around the world for the last 3 years, and how that might be impacting our body's physical health and our mind's mental health? How about that? You think about that while I share your book here that you have, and then I'll let you talk about the book too. All right, here we go. So on Amazon, he's got a book here titled Finally Focused, the Breakthrough Natural Treatment Plan for ADHD that restores attention, minimizes hyperactivity, and helps eliminate drug side effects. All right. So Dr. Greenblatt, talk about your book. When did you publish it? What can parents and people expect to learn from this book? And take it away.
Sure. As a child psychiatrist in practice, most of what I was seeing for years was ADHD. And again, we just have the Band-Aid. We have medications that might help symptoms, but as soon as you're off the medicine, symptoms come back. So we wanted to look for a better approach. And, you know, I've been talking about this stuff for, again, 30 years because our clinicians have been utilizing it. But over these 30 years, the research has just supported this information. And it doesn't mean some people don't need medicines, but it just reflects a model where many do not need medicine. So magnesium is the first chapter because it's the most important. But we go through, it's called the plus minus plan, things that you need to add. And that's like magnesium and zinc. And then concerning things we want to get rid of, like high copper, like gut dysbiosis. We talk about exercise and mindfulness, and then some, you know, tips for parents to understand that these kids aren't acting this way because of their trying to bad behavior. That it is a biological illness, and we need to help kind of understand the biology. But there are many kind of nutritional, you know, metabolic interventions. Might be different for each kid, but there are lots of tools that we can do to improve function, behavior, and most importantly, self-esteem, because these are kids that just suffer. They suffer, some quietly, for many, many years, because they're never quite living and working up to their potential, because they're bright and smart and passionate, just not about history or some other topic.
Yeah. Well, I hope that's been a great book that has helped many, many families around the world. since you released that. It looks like since May of 2017, which is great. I do want you to know there's been times I've actually spoken about books and shared books with my audiences, and Amazon sold out that day. So let's see if we can sell out Finally Focused by Dr. Greenblatt today. I actually get a lot of requests about ADHD protocols or recommendations, but I have not yet done a full podcast or a presentation just on ADHD during the last 3 years, but we will do that. And that'll be very helpful. I'll probably order the book, go through the book, and actually just correlate the same recommendations there and encourage everybody to have that in their own home, if you don't mind. We'll do that. That'll be exciting.
Great.
I would love that. All right. So anything else you want to mention about the book or anything else people can find benefits from in that book, maybe even outside of ADHD, that the principles might apply also to other issues?
Well, one thing that I think would be important, you mentioned water and filtering. One of the things we talk about in the book that I think needs to get discussed more is for those kids that are kind of irritable, aggressive, and impulsive, we use a nutritional supplement called lithium orotate. So not sure you're familiar with it, but it's been one of the most helpful tools that I've used. Tiny dosages, the amount that you know you might get in, because it's in our water supply, and we're talking about a couple milligrams a day, but it has really been dramatic, not as much for the attention deficit kids, but for those hyperactive, impulsive, irritable kids. Sometimes in 2 to 4 weeks, a small amount of lithium orotate has been the dramatic response.
In clinical practice, I actually used lithium orotate with bipolar, with schizophrenics, and we had a lot of great success in complement of using lithium orotate with other products, like we talked earlier about vitamin D, the vitamin Bs, magnesium, zincs, and other things, which is great. And inositol, which is great. You know, one of my favorite things to do in practice actually with people that were struggling with anxiety and panic disorders was using valerian root every day, like not just for sleep, which it's well known for. And I always loved educating audiences that most of the drugs that people make, that pharmaceutical industries make, are derived from components found in plants. So valerian root is what was used to isolate the component that helps people sleep with valerian and rest. And then they manufactured a drug from that component and called it Valium. I mean, it's the drug made from valerian root, but without the side effects. So what I used to use with people that had tremendous anxiety, paralyzing anxiety and panic disorders, I would actually have them take a tablet of valerian root morning, afternoon, and evening. And there's a company called Standard Process. This is not a joke. I was contacted by the CEO of that company wanting to know why am I ordering so much valerian root every month? I far exceeded every other account in the world. They wanted to know why. And I said, what do I use it for? And I said, oh, I use it for anxiety and panic attacks. And they said, just at night while people are sleeping? I said, no, I use it during the day. And it has miraculous results. So there are plant-based extracts, minerals, vitamins that have been very, very cool to learn about and share. But that's wonderful. Thank you for elaborating on that. All right. So outside of ADHD, which you talked about, suicide rates, which you just published a paper on, what are some other specific mental illness issues that you have seen just dramatic improvements nutritionally, supplement wise, that you actually find great excitement? Like there's things I know that in a practitioner's life, they've seen work so well in clinic. You can't wait for them to show up, for the next person to show up so you can share this with them. Is there anything that you get really excited about because of your clinical experience that you've seen with people with specific illnesses or mental concerns that you get very excited about because there's easy solutions typically?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's my career, my day job over the last 25 years has been in the field of eating disorders. So treating young men and women with anorexia nervosa and bulimia, but anorexia nervosa is the most life-threatening illness that we have in the field of psychiatry. And the vast majority of girls with anorexia nervosa die of suicide. So that's where 20 years ago, I started making the suicide nutrition connection, malnourished kids, highest risk of suicide. And our current model, one, we have no medication, so nobody can even say we have an FDA approved medicine for anorexia nervosa, but every doctor prescribes multiple medications. And in the world that I've been in, nutritional interventions can turn around this life-threatening intervention. Illness. And the main nutrients are actually the mineral zinc. and the fats, the omega-3 fatty acids, which are higher requirements in adolescence. These girls are restricting a dietary intake in puberty when there's a higher need, and there's obviously a genetic vulnerability. But anorexia nervosa is just tragic how it's being treated in this country and actually around the world, because we have no treatment model. We just try to force food and it doesn't work. And a nutritional aggressive approach, meaning the nutritional supplements we've talked about today, can literally turn this illness around. It's just common sense. I mean, they're starving, right? But it's not part of our medical protocol.
Yep. Are you shocked at your viewpoints now on health and mental health in all ages compared to maybe what you left med school with? Have you had to chip away some of that programming and indoctrination?
Absolutely. And the pharmaceutical industry certainly has just gotten stronger and does all the research and educates all the doctors. So there's really no room to get adequate training in nutrition or other aspects of healthcare.
There have been a lot of discussion in the mainstream media, like we just showed the ABC News publication on suicide rates in children, adolescents, teenagers, adults. Can you speak a little bit to what have you noticed over the last 30 years as mainstream media for the younger audiences turns to social media? What's been the impact of social media maybe on anorexia nervosa or other mental illnesses? Has it been drastic? Has there been an impact by social media, do you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the term that I keep using is the gasoline on the fire. So, you know, social media didn't cause, but it contributed. And for some kids, certainly during COVID, sitting at home, looking at screens, relapse of an eating disorder that had occurred, as well as new onset. When I started before COVID, you know, we had empty beds in a hospital waiting for patients. And now eating disorder facilities across the country have waiting lists, and there's not enough beds and treatment programs that were triggered by this social isolation and this social media. And again, not always the cause. There's genetics, there's nutritional deficiency, but that gasoline on the fire has been really out of control and has not been addressed.
Do you, as a psychiatrist, do you have recommendations you can give to parents right now who maybe don't know how to either manage maybe the social media, maybe some of the signs or symptoms they should be looking for in their children? Maybe they're isolating themselves into rooms all day just watching social media, but is there something that they need to be looking for that should be alarms to them, that should make them look at your website, read your book, put in and implement the supplement recommendations, some of them that you're mentioning here? What would you educate parents on how to manage the current atmosphere their kids are raised in?
You know, I think the simplest thing I could say is, you know, your kids are watching you, meaning the behavior that you model. If you're stuck on your phone, if you're not looking, if you're not having family meals, if you're not communicating, it's just a breeding ground for this kind of social media taking over these kids' lives. And there's a, you know, genetic vulnerability, kids that don't have friends, kids that might be a little obsessive, kids that might be on the spectrum. There are all these vulnerabilities. But I think as parents, if we're aware of our behavior, if we make sure we structure family time, family meals, that it just creates an avenue of communication so you can communicate with your kids about what's out there.
Very good. I love those recommendations. All right. So we know about the book. You need to get your books, parents at home, so you know how to read your children, help your children, help yourself mentally, keep yourself well. All right. Any of your other favorite, I want to ask you this. You have your Finally Focused book that I recommend everybody in my audience is purchase and buy and have. And then number two, what's a book you have read that you believe was motivating to you, enlightening to you, inspiring to you, that you think audiences at home should read? Give me a favorite book of yours that you didn't write that you think other people need to read that will help them.
The book that got me on a path that I felt comfortable as a physician was a textbook by a PhD called Biochemical Individuality, Roger Williams, but he wrote a book for the layperson called You Are Extraordinary.
Awesome.
And it's still available, used, but probably available. And all it does is just pinpoint our uniqueness, that we're all different. We have different vitamin requirements, genetic requirements, dietary requirements, and we look at each other and we can see the difference, but I think there's not enough that we can appreciate that uniqueness. So you can't go on Facebook and just take a recommendation from somebody else. So it's called You Are Extraordinary by Roger Williams.
That's a great recommendation. I love that. I have not read that book. So I'm going to order that book and I'm going to read it because I love reading and I love when professionals can articulate through books or through speaking to lay audiences so more people can apply those principles. So I'll tell you one of my favorite books. I don't know if you've ever read it, but to start chipping away at some of the what I believe are deceptions in the world of health, in the realm of healthcare. There was a book I read that was written decades ago by a guy named Norman Cousins. And the book is called Anatomy of an Illness. And that book is a phenomenal book. This guy, Norman Cousins, was diagnosed with a terminal illness, was actually admitted into a hospital. And then he recognized very quickly that there was no way he was going to recover from this terminal illness he was going to die from, as long as he stayed in the hospital, because there were three things he wasn't allowed to have while in the actual hospital setting. And the principles that he wasn't allowed to implement in the hospital were things his mom taught him, which I thought was brilliant. So his mom taught him, this is what I love about the book, three things. In order to recover from an illness, individuals need to laugh, sleep, and get vitamin C. Now, he asked for vitamin C, but they wouldn't give it to him in the hospital. At night, every time he tried to sleep, he would be interrupted by noise in the hallway and then by the nurses coming in to check his blood pressure or the technology to make sure he's all hooked up. And they would interrupt his sleep every night. And then he asked for a TV with VCR with comedy movies so he could just laugh. And the hospital wouldn't give it to him. So he actually had to get an attorney or a lawyer to move him across the street to a hotel room. And the hospital was only allowed to send a nurse over to the hotel room to check on him one time a day in the middle of the day. And then they brought him the TV with all the movies he wanted. And then he could take all the oral vitamin C that he wanted while he was over there. And he ended up recovering from something he was told he was going to die from. So this is Anatomy of an Illness, was basic principles he learned from his mother of how to stay well, support the immune system, and that these three principles were the basic things he learned from his mother about staying healthy and overcoming diseases. And I just love the basics of the message in the book, Anatomy of an Illness by Norman Cousins. One of my favorites. All right. Now in the last 2 minutes of this show, Dr. Greenblatt, I'd like you to tell my audiences, what would your message to your audiences be? Would you like to fill them with hope? Is there something you're seeing coming down the pike that you're excited about, or are you worried for the generations of our youth, teenagers, with the way the world is looking and progressing forward right now?
Well, yeah, it's hard not to be worried. But, you know, my message is always hope. And, you know, as physicians, we know the body turns over cells every few days. So by taking care of our mental health, emotional health, and nutritional health, we know we can change and people recover. So my message is always of hope. And part of what I'm seeing in younger physicians is more of an interest in nutritional medicine. So that is hopeful that our patients are now, particularly in psychiatry, are a little frustrated with just polypharmacy as the only model. So I'm really seeing the movement, the change. And the good news is the researchers around the globe are giving me the research now to be able to kind of confront some of our colleagues to say, no, we have double-blind placebo-controlled trials that this nutritional intervention does help, or the gut bacteria does affect our brain. So I am clearly hopeful that if we can kind of shift our thinking from just using drugs to thinking that we have a neck, that the anatomy, you know, is such that our psychiatrists forget what happens in the head affects our body and vice versa, there's hope.
Oh, very great. Okay, so I have one more final question for you in our last minute. Has anybody brought to your attention, parents, children, otherwise, any concerns about mental changes, mental health illness, or symptoms post receiving the COVID-19 shots in children or teenagers? Is there any correlation there between problems? Have you noticed? I wouldn't know. I just wonder if you have.
Yeah, no, I've certainly seen a lot of post-COVID infections. You know, the brain fog and long COVID has been really staggering for many adults. I've seen in some kids. I haven't seen any kind of post-vaccine mental health changes, or they certainly haven't come to me.
If they are, that's probably going to be first, they're going to have some kind of symptom as a reaction physically. And as we all know, anybody who's struggling with pain, symptoms or disease or physical outcomes that are negative, that always impacts our mental health. When we don't feel good, our mental health is affected also. Very good. All right. So remind them of your website, ask them or tell the audiences where they can follow you. Tell them about your newsletter so that they can stay on top of mental illness.
Sure. The books, we have, I think 8 books now is on my website, jamesgreenblattmd.com. And our educational program, it's called psychiatryredefined.org. And that's where we train clinicians, a lot of free content and educational content. And there's a newsletter with information about nutrition and mental health.
That's awesome, Dr. Greenblatt. Thank you for being a part of our show today and educating our audiences on mental health. This was a perfect interview to actually set the stage of confidence for parents around the world and individuals and adults that there are basic things they can do to improve their own physical health, which will also have an impact on their mental health, which is phenomenal. And that's really the whole goal. We have children for a reason. We want them to have a great experience every day as much as possible, physically and emotionally. And I don't think any of us want to watch our children struggle with anorexia, ADHD, obsessive compulsive issues, bipolarism, you name it. Doesn't matter what it is. We want them to be consistently having a great experience in life. We only have this life once. You might as well live it to its fullest, right?
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. God bless you, Dr. Greenblatt. God bless Dr. Artis's audiences at home. We will see you next week.